You're listening to Solar Insiders, the fortnightly podcast that shines the light on the world's biggest energy source. Solar Insiders is presented by Giles Parkinson, the editor of Renew Economy, and Sophie Voroth, the editor of One Step Off the Grid. Solar Insiders is brought to you by Pylon, helping solar installers and retailers design high-resolution solar proposals in minutes. And Nextracker, delivering the most advanced solar tracking technology and the highest performing solar assets in the country.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the Solar Insiders podcast. You're listening to Giles Parkinson, the editor of Renew Economy and the EV Focused and Driven, and Sophie Voroth, the editor of One Step Off the Grid and deputy editor of Renew Economy. Sophie, how are things going?
Things are good, thank you, Giles. It's a lovely sunny day here.
Well, that's, you sound surprised.
I'm not surprised. Beautiful Melbourne.
Have you checked the monitor on your rooftop solar?
I generally do every time I go in or out the back door, but I haven't today.
Okay, very good. You should have one set up in your kitchen, actually. I think everyone should have one set up in their kitchen so they can see how much they're using and understand more about energy usage and what solar can do and things like that. But
yes, well, I do have an app, actually, so I can actually look at it anywhere, but I haven't looked at that either.
No, you can be a bit obsessed. Anyway, let's move on to the news of the week. Look, we've got a few interesting things to talk about. We've got sort of more push for sort of rebates and things on battery storage. We've got sort of heat pumps surging through. A lot of interest there. We've got another installer, I think, has got himself into trouble. But most of all, we've got an interview with Stan Kirpan from Solar Victoria talking about... Well, a lot of things, really. Heat pumps, batteries, rooftop solar. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of those things. Very, very busy, Solar Victoria. Fingers in lots of pies.
Okay. Well, let's have a listen to your interview with Stan Kirpan from Solar Victoria.
Stan Kirpan, welcome back to Solar Insiders.
Thanks, Sophie. Great to be here again.
It's lovely to have you. I think the first time I spoke to you, you were pretty much one of my first interview subjects when I took over the reins of Solar Insiders. So I think that was in May last year. So it's been a while and we've got plenty to catch up on.
Absolutely.
Now, I just want to start by sort of, I guess it's a nod to how long you've been with Solar Victoria now. A couple of weeks ago, you put on LinkedIn a milestone where the folk at Solar Victoria have notched up 350,000 approvals for loans and rebates, ranging from rooftop solar and batteries all the way through to EVs, hot water services. That's a pretty exciting milestone and a good gong for the solar home scheme.
Absolutely. Look, we've been absolutely delighted. Our team in Morwell has been there from day one in 2018. We set up the office there very soon after the government's announcement, and it's going really strongly. They're a terrific team. We're recruiting really well locally, and our contact centre, as you've said, has approved 350,000 applications. And that's really, it's the Solar Homes program. And the bulk of that is still solar PV on Victorian rooftops, about 260,000 installations there. But we've been really pleased that over the years, the government has entrusted us really based off that that great presence that we've got in Morwell, the fantastic staff that we've got and some of the systems and customer insights we've built and that customer service ethic, which is really ingrained, to deliver other programs. So our Solar for Business program, we've recently announced our apartments program, electric vehicle subsidies, as you say. So it's been terrific and we're really proud of the team and what we've achieved.
It's really growing into quite something. Do you ever sort of think, just no more, no more?
We've got so much to do, Sophie.
I know.
As you know, this is a massive transformation, unprecedented, huge energy transition. And as much as we've done, we know that there's so much more to do still.
Yeah. And a lot of the states and industry people point to Solar Victoria as being sort of setting a benchmark, I think, for just... I think sensible ways to run subsidies. I think you've put in place so many measures and sort of protective measures in there made sure that there's training being done, made sure that there are strict guidelines and that, you know, there's no loopholes and things people can exploit. So it's been really successful. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is one of your newer, I mean, I guess it's not that new, but the addition of electric hot water heat pumps is a little bit new. And a release was put out yesterday just saying that it's unprecedented demand for that bit of technology, and that you've had to add some more rebates, 8,000 of them to be precise. Yeah. So talk to us about that. Why do you think it's going so sort of gangbusters?
Well, look, I think there's been a huge shift around the country, but in Victoria and New South Wales in particular in recent years, and growing awareness of heat pumps. Solar Home started in 2018, as I said, and that was a commitment to provide rebates and interest-free loans, which we still do in solar PV, but also to provide rebates of $1,000. And they've consistently been at that level since we started back then. And really under the banner of solar hot water. And it was intended really back in those days for people who perhaps might have had solar PV and they were looking to leverage that, or couldn't access solar PV perhaps because of orientation, smaller roof, particularly things like townhouses and units, etc., and that a solar hot water unit might allow them to save money and obviously access the power of the sun to heat water, which is the second biggest heating component of our heating bills in Victoria. But in fact, in those first few years, it really didn't take off in the way that we had anticipated. And we've seen a real shift in the market, particularly over the last 2 years, to go from what was effectively gas boosted or electric boosted solar hot water, which is relatively expensive, particularly in comparison to solar PV, which has really come down in price so much since we started in 2018, and certainly over the last 10 years, towards people getting solar PV and then looking to electrify their homes. And heat pumps play a fantastic role in that, of course. And so we've seen this huge global surge in interest around heat pumps, a growing sort of consumer awareness and sentiment. And of the 700,000 Victorian homes, or sort of 3 million homes nationally now that have solar PV, a really strong interest. About 3/4 of our customers with solar tell us that they're interested in electrifying their water heating.
Oh, wow.
As our minister announced yesterday, we've had more than 500% year-on-year increase in interest in heat pumps, which are now more than 90% of our hot water rebates are providing support to people to take up a heat pump. And I've just seen some figures from the Clean Energy Regulator recently that, you know, New South Wales is following a similar pathway. And of course, there are energy efficiency certificates in both Victoria and New South Wales, which make heat pumps attractive from an energy efficiency perspective. But then in Victoria, we provide this additional up to $1,000 to support heat pumps. We've now installed 20,000 units since we commenced the program. Most of that has been in the last 2 years. In terms of keeping up with demand, our minister yesterday announced another 8,000 rebates being made available. But really, to your earlier point about our successes, look, none of this is done on our own. We work really closely in partnership with the industry. We try and understand what's happening with our customers and have deep customer insights, and then work with industry about how to adapt our program over time, and we've had great support from the government to be able to do that, and that's led to a whole range of different innovations. And we're also keen on sharing them with other jurisdictions. So my colleagues have been meeting regularly with DQ from a Commonwealth perspective, with the New South Wales government, which has a couple of similar programs to us now, and we work really closely with ACT and SA as well.
Yeah. On the subject of the policy, Victoria is one of the few, well, I think only two, isn't it, states to have sort of implemented a ban basically on new gas appliances for new homes. Obviously, it doesn't cover everything, and there's some ways to get around it, as people like to point out. But, you know, effectively, it's a strong signal that this is the way we're heading and homes are electrifying. That has been in place since January. How much of, impetus do you think that's given the uptake of electric hot water heat pumps?
I think that is a part of it, but certainly that upsurge started about 2 years ago. And I think that has been driven in part by consumer awareness. There's been, you know, lots of advocates, obviously Rewiring Australia, Saul Griffith doing a fantastic job, this real growth in the narrative at a national level, really, and internationally about the importance of electrification. On top of that, the Victorian government, as you say, has been really clear with its gas substitution roadmap policy that we have to get households off gas over time. And that's in a really staged way. The first initiative was for us to stop subsidising gas-boosted solar hot water, and we did that a couple of years ago. Obviously, the move to heat pumps is a part of that. On the 1st of January, any new home being built on built in Victoria that requires a planning permit must be all electric as well. So they're really clear market signals. And I think the combination of those things and also the availability of different technologies and models on the Australian market have meant that, you know, that there is this growing interest. And we've also seen traditional brands, you know, some of the biggest well-known brands, without rattling them off, many of them locally manufactured and assembled, starting to grow their product offering also in heat pumps. And I think that's a great advance as well. And some of those brands do a lot of the marketing for us, if you like.
And so there's no shortage of supply that you can see forthcoming with all this demand?
Not that I'm aware of, but obviously we watch that closely and we've got our ear to the ground. Our industry and consumer reference group provides us with real-time insight, and we work really closely with the analysts in the sector, but we haven't seen that. We saw it a little bit in PV during the COVID years. Occasionally we hear things around batteries, but I haven't heard anything in relation to heat pumps. But we also invest heavily in industry and workforce development. And from a workforce development perspective, I think there is definitely work to be done there. We provide free training to plumbers on heat pumps and solar hot water. And we've now trained 200, but there's a commitment to train 1,000 plumbers. But we know from our discussions with the industry that there's demand from plumbers to understand the technologies more and to be of support to those customers. And we really support that.
Right. So you think that to some degree that part of the industry is sort of playing catch up with household demand, or you think they're sort of on par?
Well, I think there is a bit of catching up, and that, you know, plumbers are really trusted. They're professionals. Our customers tell us consistently that installers, whether they're solar installers or plumbers, are trusted, trusted for advice, and they come at a critical time. So if you think of when you replace your hot water unit, you know, in the most dire circumstances, you've run out of hot water and something has broken down, and so you're going to ring the local plumber or a plumber you're familiar with or someone has recommended. The advice that they give you at that critical juncture is important. And part of our philosophy is we need to equip those plumbers to be providing good advice to customers around future-proofing their homes, around electrification, around policy settings, the availability of rebates, but then, of course, the cost savings that come from heat pumps. So they've got to understand the technology to be able to do that. But also heat pumps are different in terms of the installation sequence as well. It's not just about swapping like for like, in and out. You know, there may be a new switchboard or a new circuit that is needed, because it obviously requires an electrician in many cases as well as a plumber. And so that's a different installation model, but we are seeing the industry adapt to that installation model as well.
Mm. And have you got, I mean, I know you've got some great guidelines on solar installations and the kind of panels you can trust and the retailers and the, you know, battery suppliers, that kind of thing. Have you got the same sort of information for heat pumps?
Yeah, so our notice to market, and in fact, we're just consulting on the latest version of that, and there will be a lot to say in coming weeks around heat pumps, but it does specify that you must be a licensed plumber. There's obviously requirements around some of the refrigerants that are used under the Arctic licensing scheme, which is a federal scheme. And then we apply our audit program. So 5% of installations audited and some of those findings are shared. Lots of information and guidance, our usual support to industry in terms of our mentoring programs, the coaching that we provide as a result of the audits have all been a part of that, and that'll continue. We have also a product list which is approved by both the Clean Energy Regulator and the Essential Services Commission. So some of those basic building blocks are there. But we know in heat pumps, it's a fast-growing sector. And that in any fast-growing sector, it's important that standards, quality, and some of the governance are in place. And so we've been working closely with our regulatory colleagues to try and put in place some of those controls and certainly some of that information and guidance to industry, particularly around some of the non-compliances that come up in our audits, so that we're supporting people to do the right thing in terms of quality and safety of installations. But over time, really, that regulators are stepping up their oversight as well. And obviously, in addition to information and guidance, compliance and enforcement, where that's required as well. But we've been working with the Energy Efficiency Council, with the Master Plumbers, Australian Industry Group, in addition to the regulators, to see where does it make most sense for us to work in partnership again to develop standards to improve the quality and safety of heat pumps as well.
Great. I'm going to move from what are often called water batteries to actual batteries, home batteries. you switched not long ago, I'm just looking at my notes here, July last year, was it? Switched to from the battery rebate of just under $3,000 to a interest-free loan. I can remember speaking to you about this, and you said it was if you guys felt that it would be a bit more popular and in some ways more generous for consumers than a one-off rebate, you know, just allowing them to sort of shop around a bit more, I guess, and make some more informed decisions about what to get rather than thinking about that upfront price so much. So I thought I would just check in with you how it's going. What is it, set 8 months later?
We've been really pleased with the take-up of batteries in Victoria. We're one of the strongest states, if not the strongest state, in terms of battery take-up, and we're really proud to have been a part of that in terms of incentivizing batteries since 2019, really. Our original commitment was 10,000 batteries, and we both accelerated and exceeded that. So about 15,000 batteries have now been installed under both our rebate and loans program. One of the things that we did hear about from our customers, though, was the upfront costs was a big barrier still. And so from the 1st of July last year, the government converted the rebate from just under $4,000 to up to $8,800 now for an interest-free loan. Loans across our PV portfolio, about 60% of people take up a loan. And with batteries, obviously, this is a slightly different offer. But that was partly to recognise that, you know, the maturity of the sector had come a long way since we first entered it in 2018. Our program has always been about customers first and supporting customers to save money, but also to transform markets and to send market signals and invest in these sectors that are growing. And we've seen that happen. I think the battery market has grown significantly. Since we launched the loan product on the 1st of July last year, there was probably it took a little while to take off, and that was partly about industry awareness and customer awareness. It is a different product, and it's a big outlay and a big investment for people. So as generous as it is, it took some time to kind of raise that awareness. And we have worked really closely with our retailers to raise that awareness, to educate them, particularly because it's such it's a relatively big loan in comparison to our PV product, which is a $1,400 loan. And under this one, we can't just bank the savings of the battery because it's not quite enough to pay off the loan. And so we perform a responsible lending serviceability assessment. We require a credit check, and that serviceability assessment is pretty strict. And it's deliberately so because we don't want to overburden people who are already doing it tough in many cases with another loan that's $160 a month. It's not a micro payment, which you might categorise the PV repayments as. But we've been pleased with how it's going. We do know we want to continue to raise awareness of it and to support industry to streamline the process. In the early days, so sort of July, August, as I say, there was a little bit of time taken to adjust, but we've now had, I think, about 1,500 applications come through, 1,000 of those have been installed, and about 1,300 have been approved. Our budget for this year was 4,500, so we're slightly less than we had been budgeted for, but you know, it's a new product and it's a new market, and we're hoping that it continues to be popular. We've actually seen a slight shift also in the demographics. So the batteries are getting larger. Under our rebate program, they were about 11 kilowatt hours on average. It's now 14. That's partly because we removed the very small batteries, so less than 6 kilowatt hours out of this program. But also average system costs, partly I think to do with the size, has also grown a bit as well. So average system cost is $14,200 under this program, which has increased a little bit.
Right. And what proportion of people are just getting a battery to add to their solar, and or are most people sort of doing the whole kit and caboodle at once? Are you able to get that kind of granularity from your data?
Absolutely. So of the battery customers that are coming through, 56% of them are also installing solar PV at the same time. And so we now allow people to bundle both PV rebates and loans with this product. And so that's pretty popular. Some of them do come through as existing customers or previous customers. But the bit that I can't tell you is how many of those are replacing a previous system or upgrading a system so that they're putting on more panels. And we're finding that's increasingly popular as people upsize. So the average system size now in our PV program is over 7 kilowatts. And so there's a couple of things going on there. But as I say, 56% of them are installing a new PV system at the same time as the battery loan.
That's really interesting. It has been a particularly tough nut to crack, the battery storage market, and there is a lot of talk in policy at the moment, especially on a federal level, that we need something federally as well to get uptake to really start moving along. Do you think that is something that might happen, and do you think it'll have much of an impact here in Victoria?
Well, obviously they're matters for the Commonwealth. We work really closely with the Commonwealth, and so I wouldn't want to preempt anything that might be coming from Canberra, although we've certainly heard the advocacy around a battery scheme. Obviously, battery storage is hugely important. Coordinated batteries and VPPs are hugely important, and then obviously mid-scale neighbourhood batteries, large-scale, and there's programs in Victoria across all of those domains. In the event that there is a Commonwealth program, obviously we would have a look at how we complement that. We're watching really closely what's happening at the Clean Energy Finance Corporation with the $1 billion that the federal government announced last year towards lower interest loans for electrification. And we've got great relationships with all of the federal bodies, but CEFC in particular. And so if that becomes available, and as it does come on stream, we would definitely look at how we might be able to complement that with our existing interest-free product, and indeed the rebate for PV, etc. Because, you know, clearly a rebate is a bit more attractive than having to repay something at the end of the day, and interest-free a bit more attractive than low interest. But all of those things, I think, have a role to play, and we'll look at how we might be able to bundle them up and raise awareness. And different products will be suitable for different people as well, obviously depending on their circumstances.
It's one to watch. It's going to be very interesting. The final thing I'd like to grill you on is the solar for apartments, which is really brand new. But I know when you launched it, there was quite a lot of interest. So I think there'd been 500 registrations of interest already. And it's a particularly exciting area, because it's been this part of society that traditionally has been very difficult to get solar into. So I'd love to hear how that's going.
Sure. We're really delighted with how this program's going. I mean, I mentioned earlier, our Solar Homes has adapted, I think, to our customer expectations, to industry feedback, and we've really prided ourselves on being flexible. And that this program is an example of that. So essentially, we're providing PV rebates at the $1,400 level, but that's matched then by the equivalent amount from the Commonwealth for the first time, so another $1,400. So in total, it's a $16 million program. It'll support up to 5,000 apartment dwellers to put on solar PV. We're working here through owners' corporations because obviously, there's a governance framework for how owners' corporations make such investment decisions and capital decisions. Subject to that, then they can take up the rebate offer, which is $2,800 per apartment. And we're focusing on apartment buildings that are less than 8 storey and up to 50 apartments. And the reason that we drew those requirements around it was really to target the right ratio of roof space generally to the number of apartments so that those savings could be passed on to the apartment dwellers. So as I say, $16 million equally funded between Victorian Government and the Commonwealth and comes off the back of a similar announcement in the ACT. And we've been working closely to exchange our various perspectives on that. We opened applications for the program about 4 weeks ago in North Fitzroy at an apartment that was had already made a resolution to start looking for quotes. We've been really pleased. We've had 70 applications so far, and that represents about 1,000 apartments, which is just awesome. And just under half of those are rented apartments. Based on our intel so far. So we've been really pleased with that. That's exceeded our expectations in very early days. We've had about 500 people attend webinars now across retailers who are also really excited about this new market segment opening up. It has been a hard nut to crack, as you say, but not only in terms of addressing the split incentive for renters, but also, some of the challenges and barriers that can get in the way of multiple owners, if you like, investing through an owners' corporation. We think this is the right, gets that sweet spot in terms of the financial incentive. And what we did was to work really closely with the sector, and particularly owners' corporations and strata property managers, to understand some of those unique dynamics. And the way that we've structured this program is that we provide a pre-approval. And so once we tick off eligibility criteria, and we've really streamlined that as much as we can, Sophie. We provide a pre-approval, and then that allows the kind of advocates, if you like, the champions with an owners corporation, to take that pre-approval to an owners corporation meeting, and use that obviously to encourage other owners to come on board. In Victoria, three quarters majority is required. It's a special resolution, but we think that's a really important incentive, not only for the financial upfront costs, but also as an incentive to get the other owners on board. And so to have, 70 applications so far, and so quickly has just been a delight.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It goes to show that, people being able to turn up to a meeting with not just a vague idea, but a pretty solid plan and an approach ahead, is probably making a big, big difference.
Yeah, we're all really excited about seeing the first installation under the program. Yeah, obviously, there'll be more news to say on that in coming weeks. But, so far, as expected, they're mostly in sort of in a suburban areas. It'll be great to get some regional apartment buildings in our regional centres. I think almost half of the applications have come from City of Melbourne, Port Phillip, Yarra, yeah, those three. Oh, and Darebin.
And that's a probably high density of those sort of apartments, the sort of lower
Absolutely.
rise ones that you were mentioning.
Low to mid-rise, 30, 40 years old, not huge in comparison, but that's really the sweet spot that we're trying to target. And we think it's a new market segment. This program was always about not only removing those barriers and providing those additional incentives, but also to seed a new market. In some of those, local government areas that I mentioned, you know, I think it's about half of them or even more of people are renting. So to get to people could really do with the help in the context of cost of living pressures, etc. Yeah, is just a really great thing for us.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most interesting things about this one is that it straddles both the landlords and the renters. So you sort of get access to both those groups of people and an insight into where their thinking is about solar, because landlords have also been tough to budge. I've you know, or tough to reach. I'm not sure which one it is, but you know, on the renter side, it's a tricky thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a challenge on any sort of energy efficiency or renewable energy program, sustainability programs more generally. Rental providers, many of them are householders themselves, so the same sorts of pressures that we're all under in terms of, you know, going to the supermarket and seeing the prices in the supermarket, as well as higher interest rates, higher loan repayments, all of those things are affecting rental providers in the same way that they affect others. And then there's the additional sort of challenges of you've got to invest, they've got to be out of pocket, and obviously there's tax deductions and those sorts of things. And we've provided rebates since day one for rental providers. I think about 5,000 rental properties have been fitted with solar under our program so far. But as you say, this is really exciting because we see it as another segment that'll come on top of the freestanding homes that we've supported with apartments.
Fantastic. Well, I know you're on a very tight schedule, Stan, and I really appreciate having your time again this week. And I really look forward to hearing some more of these milestones, including the first rental solar system going up when it happens.
Terrific. Thanks for all the great work you do, Sophie.
Not at all. Thanks, Stan.
And that was Dan Kirpan from Solar Victoria. Sophie, look, it's kind of interesting that he's talking about the success of the interest incentive or the zero interest incentive rather than rebates, because we've had a big call put out by this past week, I think, by the Clean Energy Council. Got a lot of interest on the website, you know, suggesting sort of, you know, sort of hefty rebates across the board. But their experience is a bit different than that.
Well, it is. I think it's just an example of what a tough nut to crack domestic residential energy storage is proving to be, because I think it was never a big enough rebate to cover the entire cost of a battery. So then they thought, well, we'll switch it to a zero interest loan, which, you know, takes the sort of focus off this upfront cost. But again, it's still, as he says, not an insignificant payment when you're trying to pay off the battery. So really, I think if there was to be a federal subsidy as well, that might be the ticket. You know, if we can combine state incentives such as a zero interest loan with a rebate, that might really get a lot more houses over the line.
And look, ironically, it might actually just be one area where you get bipartisan support because the coalition in this sort of scrambling around to try and find a coherent energy policy has landed on the fact that rooftop solar might be a popular and useful thing to do, and particularly coordinating all of that.
Will they be nuclear batteries?
No, not nuclear batteries. Nuclear doesn't need batteries. Be a
Come
nuclear
on.
power station. Be a nuclear power station. Just shovel in the uranium and off you go. I actually did hear someone talking about that. He wanted a nuclear powered car. He just sort of kind of imagined
Oh
having a
my.
boiler on the back of the ute and sort of shovel the stuff in and let it burn, baby, let it burn. But there you go. Look, let's get back on to the straight and narrow. You did heat pumps. I mean, it's just extraordinary the interest there is
It
in this
is.
technology.
Yeah, I thought maybe it might have been sort of really given a boost by the Victorian government's introduction in January of the ban on new gas appliances in new homes and new gas connections. But Stan says that it's been running hot for the last 2 years. And so really it's interesting. It's interesting to see that this is something people are doing anyway.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Look, let's have a look at some of the other sort of solar news around the place. What's this installer guy done? What's the is this sort of?
It's the same old, unfortunately. It's the old tell them that you supervised installation when you were, you know, lounging in Hawaii or something, or, you know, off doing your other job, quite probably. But yes, it was not being there when you should be there to be, when you're the Clean Energy Council accredited or not the accredited installer, and you're supposed to be there. So same thing, but this is another ban. So getting quite serious now. They've got zero tolerance. So this gentleman has been banned for a year from the rebate.
It wasn't a Facebook posting or something like that. Here I am in Hawaii or something like that. I'm not holding a hose.
I'm not sure how they get caught out on this, but I mean, considering they have to submit selfies, you know, I don't know how you'd fake that, but I'm sure there's a way.
Some are clearly giving it a red hot crack and being found out. So
maybe they're in touch with the royals on how to doctor photographs.
Yes. Okay. What else have we learned in this past week or so?
Well, it was a bit of a. We had some sad news in that Redback Technologies, which is an Australian-based battery and inverter company, has gone into administration, voluntary administration. So I think the hope is it will be rebooted, or someone will buy it or invest in it. But yeah, at the moment it's in voluntary administration, and it, you know, just after being at Smart Energy Conference last week, so it's a bit of a shock to those who weren't in the know.
Yeah, look, I'm struggling to understand what's happened here, because as you said, they were at the Smart Energy Conference. They were promoting all these new products about to come out, but they seem to not have any money. Maybe the stands at the Smart Energy Conference were really expensive or something, but I don't know. It's not
they hired one too many chairs.
One too many chairs. Yes, that's right. Yes, we have actually learnt the cost of chairs at these conferences in past events. And it's kind of ironic too, because a day earlier, Chris Bowen had been at the Smart Energy Conference and talking about how last year he'd visit another Australian battery maker, Red Earth, and been so impressed and bought one of their batteries, which was very cool exciting. Ironically, Red Earth wasn't there at the Smart Energy Conference this year, but Redback was, and now they're under. I can't work it out. But
the administrators say that they're looking into it, and they're going to, because it's part of the requirement that they work out what led the company to this stage. But who knows when we'll hear or we'll hear. I think the first meeting is next month.
Okay. What else is happening?
What else is happening? Well, aside from the ban on a rooftop solar installer, we have also had notice in New South Wales of a compliance blitz going on. It's more about safety of rooftop installation. So they've had enough of people just being a bit laissez-faire with how they run around on rooftops. I think the main concern is falling from heights and dropping things off roofs onto other people. So, yes, there's rooftop solar installers in New South Wales need to be doing all of the right things. They weren't already, Giles, I'm sure.
Well, no, that's right. Okay. Well, look, we might make that a bit of a wrap for this episode. Thanks to you and to Stan Kirpan from Solar Victoria for joining us and sort of running us through the latest in their various initiatives on sort of batteries and heat pumps and rooftop solar. And, consumer energy marches on.
It does.
And that's a good thing. Thank you, Sophie, very much. Thanks to our sponsor, Pylon. And we'll be back with another episode of Solar Insiders in a fortnight. Bye for now.
Solar Insiders was brought to you by Pylon. Pylon provides easy-to-use solar design software for installers and retailers with pay-as-you-go pricing, no monthly costs, and no lock-in contracts. Join Australia's top solar companies who trust Pylon to design high-resolution, CEC-ready solar proposals. Solar Insiders is also brought to you by Nextracker, delivering some of the highest-performing solar assets in the country. Like a sunflower follows the sun, Nextracker's market-leading solar solutions deliver optimal return on investment for utility solar farms in Australia. Check out their flagship NX Horizon Smart Solar Tracker, their intelligent optimization software, and the industry's most advanced terrain-following solar tracking technology, NX Horizon XTR.